Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Stephen and Joanne's second cup, because one cup of us is just never enough. Unless you've got like one of those big giant
travel mugs,
yeah,
right?
Travel mugs.
So I had a traumatic experience this week.
I'm proud of you for overcoming it, because some people would just not get up after this happened. But you...
I'd go right back to bed. That's what I wanted to do.
You have persevered. You have defeated your biggest fear.
Okay, it was a giant spider.
How big?
Way bigger than a quarter. Okay. Now, this is not, the body was not that size. That'd be like a tarantula.
Okay.
Okay. But with the legs, it was probably the size of, like, I'm going to guess, silver dollar.
You keep going bigger and bigger there.
I know. Yeah.
By the end of this month, it's going to be a Volkswagen. Right. Spider the size of a Volkswagen.
You know,
okay, it's a big
spider.
This is
what I didn't share originally when I shared this story with our audience. What happened was I had slept absolutely horribly that night. Big shock.
Oh, really?
So I decided that I couldn't fall back to sleep. So I'm like, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get ready for work, go downstairs, and lay on the couch for the last hour.
Oh, maybe sleep at this. So this is really early in the morning.
Really, yeah, really early. So I get downstairs, and I walk in the kitchen, and I kind of turn on the light, and then I'm going to walk to the couch. But I see something scurrying across the floor that catches my eye. And I look down, and it is this, it's like brown and eight legs.
Hairy and...
Not hairy, probably, but I don't know. I didn't get that close, right? But I mean, it was the biggest spider I've ever seen in my home.
Okay.
Outside of a cage or a tank that has a tarantula in it, okay?
Okay, so big spider.
So didn't scream, because Eric and Adam were still asleep.
I admire the restraint. You didn't
Thank
do like
you.
One of those horror movie screens where you put your hand over your mouth. They always do this, you know, the killer's in the room like 2 feet from them, and they're like hiding behind something. They're going,
yes.
Like they don't hear that.
Exactly.
So the spider's not hearing you scream at all, nothing.
Spider's not hearing me. But they're pretty smart little devils, I'll tell you, because it instantly ran next to the island, kind of like shoved itself up against the side of it. Like I couldn't kill it. You know what I mean? Because I was not about to take just like a paper towel or a Kleenex and get that close to it. That
and it
wasn't
somehow
happen.
Senses this.
I'm convinced it does. Okay. It's a survival thing, right? So now I'm completely perplexed. Now I'm sitting there thinking, now what am I going to do?
Uh-huh.
I certainly can't go to sleep on the couch.
Because it's
right
like
now.
Stuck in the little corner of the bottom of the cupboard.
I'm like, I've got a man-eating spider in my kitchen, right?
The size of a Buick.
Exactly. So I sit there staring at it for like a long time, five minutes probably.
The two of you are just like, you're looking right in his eight little beady eyes.
They have eight eyes? Is that the deal?
They got
eight legs, but I don't know about the eyes.
They got lots of eyes, I think.
So I just kind of stood there thinking, what am I going to do? Like, what am I going to do?
Well, you know what he's thinking? What am I going to do?
Exactly. Can I outlast that big thing? That's what kills me about our fear of spiders, right? Here is somebody, even a big spider. Yeah. It's a billionth our size or whatever,
It'd
right?
It'd be like the Empire State Building, you know, looking down at you going, ooh, I'm so afraid of that woman.
And I'm looking down and just kind of paralyzed. And I'm thinking, okay, so I stare at it. I think, don't move, because I got to get my shoe. And my shoe's in the other room, though, you know, but I want it to run away and not see it. So I grab my shoe. Finally, after a couple minutes, I thought, maybe if I slam the island, it'll scare it.
Okay.
And it'll start moving, because all I needed it to do was move and get out in the open so I could kill it.
For the open field, spiders move fast, though.
They do. It's okay. I'm pretty fast,
You're ready.
Too.
You're ready. You're quick.
So I hit the island a couple times, and it ran, and I smacked that thing.
Oh.
Yeah, two times. Any pee to people out there? I'm really sorry. I didn't bring it outside. Not going to happen.
If the spider would just stay outside where it belongs.
Okay. So here's the kicker, too, about this.
Okay.
So, by the way, let me finish this first. I couldn't sleep. Big shock. I'm all worked up.
Well,
Man-eating spider.
Yeah, you got the adrenaline pumping. Plus, probably in the back of your brain, in that little primal section of the brain back there, you're saying, maybe there's another one.
Yeah. You know why I knew there was maybe another one? Because of the article I was reading the night before that I was going to bring in to talk about on the radio, which is, the headline was, why we're seeing more spiders in our homes these days.
That's why you weren't sleeping well. You just read this article about spiders in your home?
So I read that article. Right. I print it off to bring in here. I go downstairs and there's the spider on the floor. Okay, the crux of this article is that because of the warm, wet summer, there's tons of little, like, insects. Well, spiders
like
have to feed
gnats,
on insects.
Little crawly things.
Whatever the spiders eat, there's a lot of them out there.
Non-spider insects.
Right. So because they're out there, the spiders are basically well-fed. Okay.
Nothing
the male
worse.
Spiders are well fed. female spiders prefer homes, garages, and sheds.
Well,
maybe they like the warmth.
They're nesting.
Maybe that too.
They like it. I mean, but they like it to be clean and orderly.
Exactly.
Yeah, otherwise, it doesn't spark joy in female spiders.
That's very true. Yeah. So what happens is the girls,
and they're
spiders,
always throwing out the guy spider stuff.
Somehow, deconstructing the web. So the girl spiders are in the homes or the sheds or the garages, and the boy spiders come in looking for them.
Well, yeah.
So that's why I'm convinced it was a boy spider in my house, unless it was a girl spider just hanging out.
Yeah, waiting for a guy to hang
out. Bottom line, there's a girl or a boy still somewhere probably in my house.
Well, is that what's keeping you awake now?
I'm telling you, I went to bed last night, and I would feel like anything. You know, you feel a hair that kind of gets on your forehead, yeah. And, you know, I instantly, you know, swat at it thinking I have a spider on me. But anyway, so it was quite traumatic.
Well, you sleep with a sound machine, right? You ought to turn that off because then you could hear the little...
Oh, my gosh, Stephen.
Yeah, you hear the little spiders like walking around? So, no, keep the sound.
Yeah, I hear. You want to know what... I think I've shared with you what I sleep with before.
Yeah, which one is it? I can't remember. The stream?
Yeah, hold on. Let me get to it because it's not the Amazon jungle.
Okay.
We were talking about this morning, so I was going through my different sounds.
Different sounds that you sleep to?
All right, hold on. I'm almost there.
I think she's going through it here.
Here we go.
All right, here we go.
It's a stream.
It's a stream.
Isn't that peaceful?
Well, that's why you have to get up and pee like every 2 hours.
That could be. By the way, the most relaxing sound, we just read a new study.
Yep.
That said that the sound that can reduce your stress by like 30% or make you feel 30% more relaxed.
Right.
Is the sound of rustling leaves and birds.
That's it?
I'd be afraid of the bird. First of all,
I'd be afraid that why are the leaves rustling? There's like a bear walking through them.
Who's coming after you?
Exactly. And the birds, I still have Alfred Hitchcock in my brain that the birds can come down and peck my eyes out.
Yeah, that would be bad. Right.
So that's why I sleep to no sound at all. I want to be able to hear them coming.
I can't imagine sleeping in silence. It literally is deafening to me, and I'm not kidding. It is.
Right.
It is.
Right.
So, well.
You notice something new on me here today?
I do.
Right there on my forearm?
You have a wonderful tattoo on your arm.
I was never a tattoo guy. Matter of fact, I went through like my vast majority of my life of saying, I'd never get a tattoo. Why would I mark myself up like that? Well, I'm becoming kind of like addicted. This is my second tattoo.
Okay.
Now, the important thing for me, the rule was when I decided to get a tattoo, it had to mean something.
Yeah.
And Jason could back me up on this because Jason's got quite a few tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
But I have two tattoos. My first one I got after I decided I was going to retire from Channel 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a song a few years back called End of the Ride, which is, on the surface, a song about a rodeo rider who decides it's time to hang it up because there's not a part about him that's not broke.
Okay.
And so that was the song, so I put the opening stanza in musical notes on my arm. Now, the new one I just got last week in honor of Scarlett, my granddaughter, who is in a wheelchair. And I wrote a song about her. I'll tell you the backstory on the song. Several years ago, I noticed, you know, she was in a wheelchair already, but she was very smart, very bright, very intelligent, very, you know, gregarious, everything. I mean, she's just a remarkable young girl. And I remember thinking to myself of all the things that she could have accomplished if only she weren't in that chair. And then I really caught myself and said, I mean, what am I thinking? She can still accomplish all that. She just needs help. And that's where I made that promise to her that day. And I wrote a song called I Will Walk For You. Mm. And if you want to check that out, it's on the homepage of our Scarlet Smile organization.
It's so powerful.
ScarletSmile.org. It's a video I put together that shows her going to a playground where she can finally enjoy a little bit of this playground. And that became kind of our theme song. We're building this playground, which, by the way, we just finished.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We're just waiting for now the rubberized surface to go in.
Yeah, we
got to
get the state to release the money to do that and the city to put some sidewalks around it. In the meantime, there's a very nice playground sitting there with a chain link fence around it that nobody can play on.
Frustrating.
But we're waiting for it. So anyway, I got the tattoo. I will walk for you on my forearm. Now, Jason, you can back me up on this. Mm-hmm. Tattoos really ought to mean something, right?
I have two tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Detroit Old English D on my right forearm.
Right.
And I got that because I'm a huge, you know, I love the city that I grew up in and that where I live. And I like to represent. And actually, quick, funny story. Before I got this, I was getting ready to interview Eminem in another radio life. And he was there and he said, you know, if you want to get the D, that's fine. But if you want to get the 12 on the other arm for D12, his group, he goes, we'll have to, you know, initiate you by beating your ass.
Okay.
Like, okay.
Oh, like, sign me up. So I'm like, great.
By the way, like, I don't see a 12 on your arm.
Just get the D. So I got that. And then on my right arm, my left arm, I have my 30th birthday present, which is a microphone, an old school square microphone, with the cord wrapped around my arm. And
it's really impressive because it starts way up high and it wraps completely down your arm. And it's shaded. Cool.
And I have tape that's holding the cord down, arm,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the tape represents the people that paid for my tattoo because this was my birthday present. So all my friends that contributed money are represented by pieces of tape on my arm. So they are the ones that hold me down. And so I like that. And I'm really, really ready for another tattoo.
You get kind of addicted to them.
You do get addicted to them.
Steven and Joanne. Maybe you could get a tattoo that's
Steven,
Steven
and
Joanne.
Our faces on
much
it.
Like you don't get the name of like any of your significant others.
You know,
he's not planning on being with us for long. We're not planning on being here for long.
We're in radio. Yeah, I don't know. You don't know how it's going to work.
You know, my wife got really, really mad one day when I said, you know, maybe I would think about putting like my daughter's names on me. Mm-hmm. She said, what about my name? And I said, I don't want
to. Bad luck.
I just say, you know, with my daughters, they're always my daughters, regardless of anything else in the world, mm-hmm. because you can't change that.
Right.
With a wife or a husband, it can change. I mean, it's not going to in our world. It will not. But I just said for me to exist with it on me permanently, mm-hmm. it would have to be something that is literally a part of me.
Okay, how did she react to that?
She didn't like that.
I don't think she did.
I'm telling her, listen.
She was like, you're questioning our love.
Why don't you get like the New Zealand flag or something?
I've actually thought about doing something like that because she does represent.
Or getting a kiwi.
A kiwi. I've thought about doing that too. Or she has the silver fern. She got a small tattoo on her wrist, which is the silver fern, which is like the national plant of New Zealand, plus the logo of her salon, which is Zealand's spa salon.
Yep.
So she has that on her. My daughter, on the other hand, got some tattoos. She got one originally. This was kind of cool. My wife and my two daughters all went together, and I guess my youngest daughter was only like 16.
Oh.
And so, but my wife signed the papers, and they got three little flowers that are all kind of on their stomach.
Uh-huh.
These three little flowers that represent themselves, my two daughters and my mother, and her, their mother, my wife.
Yeah.
Now, Lauren's thinking about adding a scarlet to it also for our granddaughter. But so Hillary got that tattoo. And then later on, she decided she wanted more tattoos. We went out of town, and she left for the tattoo parlor like within minutes.
Of course.
She got like this tattoo on her rib cage of three fleur-de-lis, which mean nothing to her. And today she says, I don't know what I was thinking. I just wanted to get a tattoo, and that looked good, and I had them put it on there. Now I'm just looking at these every day, and I said, what was I thinking? They mean nothing?
Yeah.
They're just there.
Yeah. I mean, it's been almost 10 years since I got the microphone on my arm, and the day after, I was like, okay, what can I get next?
Oh, my gosh.
Been thinking about it, and I wanted to do a pet tribute. Because I have really good photos of some of my favorite dogs. And
you actually get their pictures on it?
Yeah, and get like portraits. Their portraits put on with like some sort of a scene. And I was like, yeah, this is it. And for a couple years, I was like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm trying to design it and get it just right. And then one morning, I had just the smallest piece of doubt. Like, maybe I don't want it. And from that moment, I'm like, not doing it.
Yeah,
I don't want to have something on me that I'm going to be like, gosh, I wish I wouldn't have done this.
Yeah,
I do want. I know it. I want it to be something about transformation with me losing all my weight and just transitioning in life and going from where I was in my 20s as a reckless kid to where I am now, almost 40, and as a reckless adult, you know?
It gets back to Stephen and Joanne on him. That's
really. So what you're saying is you're not putting us on you.
And I wanted to do something with Batman and like Bruce Wayne, something. I just cannot figure out what I want yet.
All right,
so I'm not doing it until it's
done. If you did a tattoo, Joanne, if I just say you change your mind someday, what would it be of?
I have no idea. I've never put any thought into that ever.
Ever. Now, would you put like your kids? Because obviously your kids are forever a part of you. Would you put MSU, go green?
No. Or
is there like something that reminds you of your kids? Like a
thing? Well, you guys, this is, you're totally put me on the spot.
No. Well, that's
I don't know. Okay. I really don't know. I don't know.
You know, it's not for everybody. I know people that are just like, no, I just have no
desire.
And
I honestly will tell you that I can never see myself getting a tattoo.
All right.
My friend Natalie has a mustache on the inside of her index finger.
So she holds it up.
So she holds it up to her nose and it's got a mustache on it.
I've seen some neat ones. Like, faith is important to me. And I've seen people just put like a little cross.
Little cross or something.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I guess if it was something like that, that would probably
be. I look at my brother.
Be.
My brother Jeff has a tattoo that's about 10 inches.
Bigger than a bread box.
By 6 inches. It's a giant cross on his back.
Really? Yeah. My nephew's got some of those Bible verses and stuff on him.
He regrets getting it on his back because he can't see it.
Oh, well, that's kind of neat, right?
He's even though
constantly
it's there,
on the mirror up to himself.
Yeah.
Going right.
Even though it's there,
right.
He can't see it.
Yeah.
I don't want to put anything where I can't see it either.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point.
So my son-in-law had, before my daughter and he got married, he had one on the back of his calf, and it said Leviticus, which was ironic. Because that's the shall be no graven images.
Oh, right, yeah.
So he wrote that on his leg. He said most people didn't get the joke, he eventually had it changed to an eagle.
He did.
Yeah,
okay.
So now it covered by an eagle.
All right. Well, Jason, we'll try to help you come up with something, okay?
By the way, I was going to tell you, if you finally decide to get your tattoo, something to remember to do, tip your tattoo artist.
Oh, really?
That's a proper thing to do. And if you don't, next time you go in,
you're in trouble.
Well, people may be like, why do you tip your tattoo artist? And it's like, you're paying... My tattoo on my big one was $450.
Right.
That's
okay.
How much it cost. Right. But I tipped him another 50, so I just rounded it up to 500. And why do you tip the artist? He does all the work. Well, the artist, you're paying for the artwork, right?
Okay.
You tip for the experience. You know, like it was very painless, except for a couple areas.
Yeah.
The guy really made me feel comfortable, you know, getting a tattoo.
Yeah.
And
you
I think that's why you tip. You tip a good service.
It's like
you tip
a stylist.
You get a haircut,
yeah,
you guys.
Like
you tip,
yeah,
so it makes sense. And if you don't, if you go in the second time and ask for the word love, it's going to come out glove.
Your
when
glove.
You leave, right?
Or no regrets. It's going to look no regrets.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, so you got to watch that.
Yeah,
thing.
You're warned now for sure.
So tipping, that we bring this up also because there's a new restaurant just opened up in Detroit. What's the name of the place?
It's called Magnet. It's on Grand River near West Warren. Okay, so here's the philosophy. There's no tipping. I mean, that you're not supposed to tip the waiters and waitresses.
Okay.
They make $15 an hour.
That's a good living wage.
At least I believe that's where it's where they start. They'll be able to make, the chef says there, $38,000 to $50,000 a year with health benefits and paid vacation.
Wow.
Now, something's got to give there, right? And what gives kind of is for the person eating at the restaurant. Because you're not going to be tipping, the prices on the menu will be a little bit more. Like he gives an example, Chef Brad Greenhill, that if something is normally, let's say $10, it would be maybe $12 on the menu.
So they've kind of added that 20% tip that you would have paid.
But then again, technically that means that we're not paying anymore because we're not tipping. So it would almost be a
wash,
right?
But you will be taxed on the total amount, not the pre-tip amount.
Yeah, but you know, I tip on tax anyways.
I do too. I never even pay attention how much tax it is.
That's too much brain power.
Well, right now for me, I can do 20% because I take 10% and double it.
Very good,
that is
Stephen.
The limit of my math right there. I can sit there and say, let's see, if it's $50, that would be $5. Times two,
$10. $10.
See,
so, yeah.
There it is.
I like that, though. And I really do wonder if that's going to become a trend. Now, of course, there will be people who say, but wait, waiters and waitresses may try to go above and beyond will tip them more.
And I noticed that in New Zealand, where my wife is from, the first time I went to New Zealand with her some 30 years ago, we went into a restaurant and she said, oh, by the way, there's no tipping in New Zealand. And I said, oh, okay, that's good to know. So we had kind of slow service. You know, and we weren't that many people in this restaurant. And there were a couple waitresses running around, and they weren't really running. They were just, you know, it wasn't the greatest service, but I'm sitting there, okay, it's fine. There's no tipping anyway. I get it. So as we're leaving, we didn't leave a tip, and I walked out, and then my wife, or future wife at that point, is a few steps behind me, and she heard one of the waitresses tell the other waitress, he didn't tip, and he's a bloody American. And she looked over, she goes, yes, but I'm a Kiwi.
She's like, I know
Hit
how
to
this
the game.
Works.
And so it still is pretty much that way in New Zealand, although because of the way tourism has worked and Americans are all over the damn world, you're going to get tipping no matter where you go anymore.
Yeah.
And they just don't expect it.
I wonder, though, if with the no tipping, what if people still tip?
I think that would be amazing.
Do they say, no, we cannot accept it?
No, I bet they wouldn't.
I don't know if they will or not, or if they just do a pool tipping thing, or if they just quietly slide it in their pocket
and
move on.
But we'll
I still think if you get extraordinary service, I think you ought to reward the person. If they go above and beyond, I think you ought to do that.
Well, then it would be above and beyond maybe the 20% that you would normally tip, because remember, it's being built into what they're making.
And I hate those places where you go and they'll say like an 18% tip has been added to your check, and I'm going, well, too bad. I would have given you 20.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there you
go. By the way, this chef of Magnet also owns Tokoi Restaurant in Corktown.
Oh, yeah.
And
delicious.
Apparently, I haven't been there, but they plan to start the no tipping policy there in January.
That restaurant, Tokoi, was voted like the number one best new restaurant in Detroit.
There are so many restaurants in Detroit right now. I mean, it's just amazing. Every time you go, it's like two or three more have popped up since the last time you were there.
And Magnet, by the way, the one we just mentioned, the first one opening with no tipping policy, it's a wood-fired cooking spot that's 75% vegan. So there you go.
Well, I'm not going there then.
Well, I'll be there for the other 25%.
Yes, you boys will.
I want meat.
That's for sure.
Give me meat. And I want meatless meat. That's no such thing. I want meat meat.
Yeah, the Impossible Burger. Hey, what when you guys think of up north, what are some of your favorite cities that you go to up there?
Well, I always say Gaylord just because my dad's name is Gaylord, so I always remember that place.
My parents live in Gaylord.
And, do they?
Right there?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you say Gaylord or Gaylord?
I say Gaylord.
Well, see, that's how my dad's family pronounced his name, is Gaylord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he always pronounced it Gaylord.
That reminds me of Meet the Parents.
Yeah. Yes,
Gaylord.
Oh, my dad has a funny story about his name, because he went into the Air Force, and he started off enlisted, so he went to boot camp, basically. And they're all sitting around. You can just picture the barracks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they got all the guys sitting around. They've had a tough day out there shining boots and running around, you know, doing stuff like that. And they all look around and says, yeah, what's your name? Oh, name's Bill. What's your name? John. What's your name? Frank. What's your name? George. What's your name? Gaylord. And they all looked at him and said, nah.
Oh.
What's your middle name? And he said, Wesley. And they said, you're Wes. And they moved on down the line.
Oh, my gosh.
From that day, he changed from Gaylord to Wes.
You know that would never happen today now. You know that would never happen
today. Yeah, somebody would get sued.
Yeah.
They'd yell you'd be in there.
They would, yes, absolutely.
Sensitivity training.
All right, listen, I bring this up about up north because, you know, you think of up north, you think of Traverse City.
Torch Lake.
You think of Torch Lake, Higgins Lake. There's just so many
Muskegon.
There's
so many
great travel spots up there that people love to go to. So apparently there are towns along US 131 that are tired of being kind of like bypassed, kind of like the flyover towns, but they're the drive-through towns.
Because people are just on 131 so they can get to Petoskey.
You got it. All or right. get to some of these other cities. So they have started a new campaign. It's called Explore 131 North. It's an initiative. They have their own website and social media campaign, and some of the cities that are part of it are Petoskey, which I think is already on the map.
I think that's
so
a destination.
Kind of surprised.
That's like
big
the
time.
End of it.
Yeah, that's the end of 131. You take that to get there, and then you end. Yeah.
Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
Manton, I think it's called Manton. Fife Lake, Kalkaska.
See, you don't even know how it's pronounced.
I know.
That's, yeah, exactly.
Mansalona, Boyne Valley. I know that because of the skiing at Boyne and Walloon Lakes.
I love Mansalona. That's a great, great town.
Do you really?
Yeah, it's a really nice town. There's a lot of fun little shops to go there. And
well, guess
Fife
what?
Lake is absolutely
you could probably get a
beautiful.
Job as a
I have
spokesman.
Friends that live at Fife Lake.
See, not enough people know about it, though.
It's beautiful.
Those of you who have been there and the towns themselves, they know how great it is. So their website advertises them as an all-seasons adventures corridor with scenic drives, lakes, and rivers and trails to offer.
I think, Jason, you ought to do a whole series of commercials basically saying, and you can come out and enjoy the still waters of Fife Lake.
Exactly. Pure Michigan by Jason.
Tim Allen.
Pure Fife Lake.
I hear his contract's up, so maybe Jason's our new guy. So, but did you know things like this? Ernest Hemingway had a summer cottage in Walloon Lake.
Okay. I knew that he had a place in Michigan. I just didn't know where.
Walloon Lake.
The Fife Lake has a historical walk.
Mm-hmm.
You can do plenty of bird watching in Petoskey, they say.
There you go.
There's a Wild Haven Disc Golf Resort in Manton. Seven Bridges Nature Trail in Kalkaska. There's the Wetzel Lake Beach in Mansalona. And 600,000 acres of state and national forest near Cadillac and Boyne Mountain Resort.
Where on that list is the Flint water treatment
plant? Yeah, where is that? I'm just saying.
Flint's not one of those little towns part of here. No, sorry. Good job.
What about Alpena?
Wrong side of the state.
Oh,
good job.
Yeah,
they do have, by the way, they're giving away these decals. They're really cool looking, you know, with a 131.
Yeah, is it like Explore the Michigan glove with like the
No, I think it looks, it's like more of a highway sign, but it says Explore 131.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of neat. So I have a feeling that I think it's a pretty brilliant marketing move.
They should take a page from Route 66.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
Just write a song.
Really just focus on 131 and then along the way.
Right. Because that's exactly, so Route 66, right? Because I saw cars, so I know.
Yeah.
Wasn't it that everyone then bypassed because they did the other, remember?
Yeah.
That's what it was all about.
See, what rides 131? Like, you know, you can have fun.
Was it Radiator Springs?
Yeah. See? And suddenly no one went there anymore. These cities need some love.
We need Lightning McQueen to come on 131 to help us.
We are available for hire.
Hater.
Because
we're brainstorming right here for you.
I love it.
Somebody call Larry the Cable Guy right now. That's who we should have be the voice of 131. Y'all want to go up there 131?
That's great. I have a feeling those communities will say, we are not rednecks.
Okay? I'm not saying it right. Larry, that's how Larry talks.
Well, nobody kind of sounds like a redneck. Chip.
Get her done.
Get her done. Speaking of done, we're done. Hey, The cup is over. We hope you have a great week, and we'll be back again next week with another cup. Maybe our third.
Yeah,
we call it our
maybe
second.
Maybe three or four, yeah. And don't forget, join us every morning, 6 to 10 on 104.3 WOMC.
And stream us. If you're out and about and you can't listen in your car when you get to work or on your smartphone, radio.com, free app. You can take us anywhere you go. You're sitting in your car, you get to work, and you're like, ah, I got to hear Friendly Feud. Just put it on your phone, you can listen to it.
Or if you're in your car and you're like, I love the music that they've been playing, and their show's absolutely hilarious. I want to continue listening in my house. Just open us up on your Alexa app. Hey, Alexa, play 104.3 WOMC on radio.com. And it'll happen.
And you know what just happened all over town?
That's right.
We like it.
Alexa just woke up and
you're
put
welcome.
104.3 on.
Thank you. Oh, one more thing before we go. Hey, Siri, remind me at 5 a.m. Monday morning to listen to Stephen and Joanne on 104.3 WOMC.
Ooh, I like it.
My Siri just woke up.
See ya.